Welcome to the Summer of Love. I'm Jay Voorhees.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die. You can make the mountain.
Stories very, very, very old. One of the early stories in the Bible. Story about a man named Abraham. And God appeared to Abraham one day at a place called the Oaks of Mamre while Abraham was sitting at the entrance of his tent. And it was the hottest part of the day, and he looked up and he saw three men standing, and he ran from his tent to greet them and bowed before them. He said, "Master, if it please you, stop for a while with your servant, and I'll get you some water so you can wash your feet and rest under this tree, and I'll get some food to refresh you on your way since your travels have brought you across my path." They said, "Okay, go ahead." Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, and he said, "Hurry, get three cups of our best flour, knead it, and make bread." And then Abraham went to the cattle pen and picked out a nice plump calf and gave it to a servant who lost no time in getting it ready. And then he got curds and milk and brought them with the calf that had been roasted and set the meal before the men and stood there under the tree while they ate. The men said to him, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" He said, "Well, she's in the tent." One of them said, "I'm coming back about this time next year, and when I arrive, your wife Sarah will have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent opening just behind the man. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old by this time, very, very old. Sarah was far past the age for having babies, and Sarah laughed within herself. "An old woman like me get pregnant? With this old man of a husband?" God said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Me have a baby? An old woman like me? Is anything too hard for God? I'll be back about this time next year, and Sarah will have a baby.'" Sarah was embarrassed and lied, and she said, "I didn't laugh." You know, she was afraid. But he said, "Yes, you did. You laughed." And when the men got up to leave, they set off for Sodom, and Abraham walked with them to say goodbye. And then they said, "Shall I keep back from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham is going to become a large and strong nation. All the nations of the world are going to find themselves blessed through him. Yeah, I've settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life, live kindly and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him." Now, this story is one about a man, Abraham, and a woman, Sarah, finding a great blessing. And the story seems to suggest that their blessing came because of their willingness to welcome strangers in their midst. They didn't know who the strangers were or if they were safe. The scripture wants to say that maybe they were of God, but they had heard God's call of welcome in their own lives, and they trotted out the best china and the finest meal to welcome these new friends. And through their gift of hospitality, they were given a great gift that would go on to bless the world. And this call to welcome and offer hospitality goes back really to the earliest stories of Christian faith. And yet, far too often, when someone comes in our midst, we can find ourselves not very hospitable. There's a video that I'd like you to look up on YouTube. Just Google Pixar Birds and take a moment. You can stop the recorder and take a moment to watch this YouTube video. Because it seems to me that this video clip gives us an insight into the way we sometimes act as church people. It's a funny clip, But the fact is that sometimes when a stranger comes into our midst, we end up picking and pecking at them just like those birds. Now, last week, I threw out the idea of a new way of thinking about what it means to be church. That we're to be a people of embrace, I said. We're supposed to reach out and welcome all with open arms. And we should be, at least I'm suggesting, that we should try to be what I'm calling an embracing church. And that's all well and good, but how do we go about doing that? What does it take to be embracing? Am I just kind of messing with words without any implications for our lives? Or are there things that we can do, values we can assume, actions that we can engage in that will help us to embrace the world just as Jesus did? The other way to think about this is to think about this question. How is it then that we are to love the world? Because that is what the call to embrace is about, loving the world as Christ loved us. And to be a people of embrace is to be a people filled with love, a people who know that in our love of others, we're drawn closer to God. So if we're going to think about embracing others, we're going to have to think about the nature of love. And thus, during the Summer of Love, we're unpacking the meaning of the words used in the New Testament to describe love. Now, hospitality, this practice of Abraham and Sarah, is the first of these loves that we're considering. In Greek, it's known as xenia, which literally means the love of the stranger. It's X-E-N-I-A, xenia. Now, that may sound familiar to us, for xenia is the root of another word, xenophobia. Not a very positive word. The fear of the stranger, that is. A fear that in our world today seems to be growing more and more prevalent. Now, throughout all of the Bible, there's an understanding that God's people, people that follow in the way of God, will be engaged in ministries of hospitality, in ministries of xenia. And it's rooted in this story of Abraham, connected to the blessing that he became to the world. Hospitality became ordained in God's command to the chosen people to take in and care for the alien and the stranger, for the scriptures tell us they too were once strangers in a strange land. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul commands the church in Rome to care for the stranger. And of course, we have the example of Jesus, who suggested that the kingdom of God is like a banquet where everyone is welcome. And hospitality, the welcoming of the stranger, or the traveler, or the visitor, or person in need, runs deep in Middle Eastern culture. After all, a lot of that land is desert. And there's a belief that we have a responsibility to one another while living in a harsh land. And to offer hospitality is to recognize that everything that we have comes from God, and thus what is ours is available to all. And within the nomadic culture, there's a strong desire to include others in the bounty of God's goodness. So much so that it's really not unusual among the Arabic people to announce to the entire community, the whole neighborhood, that dinner is being served so that everybody can come in and join them in the feast. Now, xenia, it seems to me, this love of stranger, is most clearly demonstrated in the Christian tradition, in the monastic tradition. Monasticism, the creation of communities that are dedicated to prayer and growth in God's grace, began in the deserts of Egypt and Palestine when individuals would separate themselves from the world for prayer and meditation. Now, one might think that these hermits, these loners, would be reluctant to engage with others, but that was far from the case, because these mystics deeply believed that hospitality was a spiritual mandate. Because one never knows when Jesus himself might show up at the door in need. Eventually, a man named Benedict would come along, and he created a guide for the monastic communities that continues to be used to this day. And the hospitality is at the core of Benedict's rule. All guests who arrive should be received as Christ, Benedict wrote. And he would go on to say that hospitality must be at the core of the life of these communities of prayer. Having gone to a monastery or two, I just should say that one of the most important spaces in any monastic community is the guest house. So if we follow in the way of Jesus, if we're part of this Christian tradition, we need to understand that hospitality is absolutely a part of the tradition we've inherited. So why then do we seem to struggle with it today? I was reading an author, a Benedictine monk named Hugh Feist, and he said that the great enemies of universal hospitality are busyness, fear, and professionalism. And I can certainly vouch for that. For I often find myself failing in the call to offer hospitality because of these things. Someone will show up at the door of the church or call me on the phone just as I'm headed to another meeting or on my way out to pick up the kids, and I quickly shrug them off, for I simply don't have the time and the inclination to be welcoming. Someone will show up at the door dressed in rags and looking menacing, and I find myself filled with fear that welcoming this person might be dangerous and lead to attack. And very honestly, as a professional religious person, someone comes by and I find myself thinking of sending them to the appropriate agency rather than offering a cup of cool water in the name of Christ. Now, what I'm doing is not necessarily a bad thing. It's all human inclination. It's to be understood, but when I fall into the trap of not offering hospitality, I fail to recognize Christ's presence in the other. And when I do so, God grieves. I think there's another reason we struggle with hospitality as well. In our society, hospitality has been equated with providing entertainment to the other, leading us in our busyness to avoid it altogether, since we don't have time to make our houses look like they came from Home and Garden magazine or cook fantastic meals with fancy finger foods. Author Karen Maines suggests that our notions of hospitality are all wrong. We've got it all mixed up, she says. She said, entertaining says, I want to impress you with my home and my clever decorating and my cooking. Hospitality, on the other hand, says, this home is a gift from my master. I use it as he desires. Hospitality ultimately aims to serve. Entertaining puts things before people. As soon as I get my house finished, the living room decorated, my house cleaning done, then I'll start inviting people over. Hospitality puts people first. No furniture, we'll eat on the floor. Decorating may never get done. You come on anyway. The house is a mess, but you are friends, so come home with us. Entertaining subtly declares that this home is mine, an expression of my personality. Look at it, please, and admire me. Hospitality whispers, what's mine is yours. You know, hospitality is not simply a home thing, however. It extends to the church as well. To be radically hospitable is to understand that everyone who walks through the door of the church is Jesus Christ. And so when we offer hospitality in the church context, we recognize that our building, our whole way of being is a gift from God, and that everyone is equally welcome to it. Hospitality in this light means that we celebrate when some new person is sitting in the pew we normally sit in. Hospitality in this light is to ignore the mud that's being tracked in on the carpet. Hospitality in this light means that we may not get really upset when somebody brings in a Coke or a coffee cup into the worship space. Hospitality in this light may also mean that we're willing to do new things so that our guests may better know the love of Christ. Hospitality in this light may mean that we're willing to do new things so that our guests may better know the love of Jesus Christ. There's a story, one of those apocryphal stories that preachers have, told about one Sunday in a church in which a guy with long hair, he was kind of a Jesus people, hippie kind of guy, he showed up at church. He was wearing ragged clothes and covered with tattoos and piercings. He hadn't showered in a few days, and several in the church raised their eyebrows when he showed up at the door. And he came in, and he took a bulletin from the usher, and then proceeded to march up to the front of the sanctuary and took a seat on the floor in front of the first pew, immediately just below the pulpit. Now the service started, and this man wasn't moving to a pew. And so no one was surprised when an old man in a freshly pressed suit and tie creaked down the aisle toward the front. The old man was the head usher, and he'd been called into service to deal with this situation. Now, when he finally got down to the front, he put his hand on the man's shoulder and bent down to whisper something in his ear, and the congregation held their breath because they weren't sure what was being said or how it was being taken. And the old man walked around in front of the hippie guy, and everyone was convinced that this usher was about to kick that man out the door. But when he got to the other side, the old man creakily made his way to the floor and proceeded to sit with that long-haired hippie guy through the rest of the service. And my friends, that's what Xenia, the love of a stranger, is all about. It's about being willing to sit with people where they are and offer hospitality so that they can experience the love of God. One little addition to this story. After I preached this on a Sunday morning several weeks ago, one of my church members came up to me. She said, that story about the hippie and the old usher, she said, where'd you get that? I said, I don't know. It's one of those stories that preachers get. She said, well, that old man was one of my relatives. And he sat on the floor here in this church. And that's my hope for City Road Chapel as a church, is that we can be a place of hospitality. We can be a place that welcomes all, that we can practice Xenia to the fullest. Because when we start with that very first step of practicing hospitality, then we're well on our way towards becoming a church of embrace. Xenia, the practice of hospitality, is the second in a series called The Summer of Love, a series of podcasts we're doing, which parallel a sermon series I've been preaching here at City Road Chapel. We hope that you will find blessing and meaning in this series, and if there's anything we can do to help in your faith, please visit our website, www.cityroadchapel.org, or feel free to drop me an email at JVOOREHEES@cityroadchapel.org. We'll see you next week. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Some may come and some may